From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello once again and welcome to the program. I'm delighted you're joining us and tuning in, and I do want you to stay for the next 15 minutes as the Reverend Andrew Patterson from Garva lets the Bible speak from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the message based on that verse is coming right after these words in song, so be sure to stay with us.
Thank you, Mr. Curran, for your words of introduction. Hello, folks. It's good to be with you again this morning. And I turn you in God's Word to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There are many fantasies and stories that are told or performed throughout the year. There are countless numbers of people who entertain the children by taking them to the theatre or some other place in order that they may dwell in a world of make-believe for a time. But when the Apostle Paul was writing to encourage young Timothy, his son in the faith, he knew he would need all the help and guidance that he could offer as he sought to preach the gospel of saving grace. And to that end, he wasn't going to deal in little stories of make-believe. What would encourage him when he would be faced with the problems and the seemingly unrelenting opposition? It would be the story of the power of God in Paul's own life and in his conversion. It was a story so remarkable that scarcely people would believe it to be true. When Ananias was commissioned by the Lord to go to see Saul, he was one who had heard of the evil that he had done against the people of God, and he needed to be convinced that he was genuinely converted. When he came to Jerusalem, the church were afraid of him. They didn't believe that he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It took the persuasion and befriending of Barnabas to show them that he truly was a changed man, and one who was now a preacher and not a persecutor. Only the grace and the power of God could do that in the life of this man, a man who considered himself to be the chiefest of sinners. And if the Lord could do that for him, then he could cause Timothy to see other hard cases saved. And God can still triumph in the lives of men and women through the power of his gospel. That is the sentiment of the verse that I've just read to you this morning. Verse 15 of 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. There is one whom Paul preached and uplifted before all others, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the Saviour whom he mentions in the course of this verse. The wonder of which he speaks about concerns the Christ of God. But you'll notice what title he uses to speak of the one who stopped him on that Damascus road and was to save him from his guilt and his sin. It was Christ Jesus. The name of Jesus was to be given to the child born in Bethlehem's manger, for he shall save his people from their sins. It is the name that means Saviour, and yet it was a name which was in common usage on those days. We come across others in the Scriptures who bore the same name. But the wonder of it all is that this was the Saviour anointed of the Father, for that indeed is what the title Christ means. This was the promised Messiah that the Old Testament prophets had spoken about and promised would come. This was the Holy and Heavenly One whose voice Saul heard on that road and who was to apprehend him amidst his sin. For in these two names there is a bringing together of humanity and divinity. For this was the blessed God-man, the one who was revealed as the chosen of God to be the Redeemer and the only Saviour of the world. For in eternity past, it was decreed that Christ Jesus would be the Redeemer of God's people. He would stand in the gap of man's sin as the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Paul and we through him are considering the only begotten of the Father, the one of whom there is no equal. But the wonder of this text is seen not only in the consideration of the names of the Christ of God, but in the fact that he came. That is what Paul speaks of in this verse. Christ Jesus came into the world. Therein is found his condescension. For the Christ of God was to leave the realms of glory behind that he had with the Father, and he was to come to this world. He came having been promised by the patriarchs and prophets of old. They were those who saw this promise and who believed it, and indeed embraced it and died in the faith that the Redeemer should one day come. Look at what it says of Abraham in John chapter 8 and verse 56. The Lord said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Abraham knew of Christ. He believed that day would come when Christ would come, and he rejoiced in it. Don't let it be said that the Old Testament prophets knew nothing of the Christ of God. That is certainly not the language of Hebrews 11 and verse 13, for it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." He came after he was foreshadowed by all the Old Testament sacrifices and offerings, and the types and the symbols that were obvious in the time of Moses and following. He came when the fullness of time was come, for God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, those who could not help themselves. Christ came. Oh, the wonder of it all. that the Christ of God should take upon himself a body prepared for him, and that in obedience to the Father's will, he should leave the glories of heaven and exchange it for to come to this world. But if we look closer, there's another wonder, and that is when we consider to where he came to. For Paul could state here, Christ Jesus came into the world. And the world to which Christ came was nothing but corruption. The world which was made by the great Creator in perfection, but yet the world that has been cursed because of sin. The world in which the Bible states of its inhabitants, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in which we are reminded that the wickedness of man is great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The world of which the Scriptures state are no friend of God. And to be in friendship with the world is to be at enmity with God. The two don't go hand in hand together. And if we give heed to the exhortation of John, we're given to understand what the makeup of the world is. 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Christ came to a world not prepared to greet him and honour him as Lord, not to a world which was prepared to receive him and welcome him, for he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But he came to a world of rebels, a world of sinners, a world which was fallen, guilty and perishing, and which was going down to ruin, a world of corruption from one end to the other. That is the world to which Christ came, the Christ of God, the one in whom there was no sin and did no sin and could not sin, for he was equal with God. And yet the wonder of it is that Christ came to such a place of corruption. Is this not a marvellous wonder to you, that Christ Jesus should come to this world, that he, the Son of God, should take upon himself the form of man and become the servant of men? For he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That he, the Christ of God, should become bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Is not a wonder to you? Let me ask you this morning in closing, what think ye of Christ? Is he your Saviour this morning? Do you know the application of this verse that Paul has penned here to young Timothy that we've looked at? Do you know Christ as your Saviour? You know sins forgiven. You're resting upon him and upon the finished work of Calvary's cross. It is my prayer that you are. I trust that you'll join with us again as we look further this verse the next time. But if you're not saved, don't wait until then. But come by faith and acknowledge Christ as your Saviour and as your Lord this morning, repenting of your sin and knowing the blessing of having eternal life and sins forgiven. God bless you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So do remember to join us at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.